Good morning. Can you believe that this is our last Sunday before Christmas? Like every time we have four candles lit, it just blows my mind because December just flies by. And also 2021, like, where did it go? I don't know. But anyway, I'm glad you are here with us, whether in person, watching online, for this last Sunday of Advent, Sunday of joy. And it is a joyful time, even with the craziness of stuff that is going on around us right now. We still have so much to be joyful about today. Last week, Lindsay started our Advent series. Is that okay? Sorry, I can hear so much breath. Okay. Lindy Anderson started our Advent series, and he reminded us that when we come to this Advent story, actually we're jumping into the middle of this grand story. We love to hear about all these characters, Mary, Joseph, baby Jesus, shepherds, but we need to remember that that baby lying in the manger was there in the beginning, and nothing that has been created was created without him. And that he came with purpose, right? We were reminded last week that he came to proclaim good news to the poor. He came to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And so we saw the overview last week, and what I want to do today is zoom in, focus right on that moment when Jesus arrived. Because whether you are a longtime follower of Jesus or maybe you are not really sure about him, this story and that moment when Jesus arrives is pretty famous. We celebrate it every year. We sing about it. We have the little images of it on our Christmas cards, and we find the little people and animals, and we set it up on our tables and shelves. It's familiar, right? It's the expected part of this season, of this time of year. And I was thinking about the beginning of COVID. Do you guys remember, like, back March 2020, that first Sunday that we were told that we couldn't come and meet in person at the church? Or the first time you realized that, like, all these stores were shutting down, the first time we had to put on a mask, the first time we had to, like, be cautious with, like, who we were interacting with. It was so strange. I just remember thinking, like, this isn't possible, or this can't last. It was such a weird experience. And some of the stuff is still frustrating, like, some of it still feels weird, but it's amazing how we adapt and how we get used to, you know, following arrows and going in the right door and exiting the right door. Like, all this stuff has become normal. And even, like, those new restrictions that came out this week, as frustrating as it is to hear it, I'm now used to hearing new restrictions. Like, we're all prepared for it. We're expecting it. And I think that the Advent story and Jesus coming and COVID don't have a lot in common, but like we've gotten used to COVID stuff, I think we've gotten used to the story of Christmas, and the craziness of it maybe isn't as real for us anymore because we've gotten used to it. So my goal today is simply to create a space for us to hear this Christmas story again and maybe recognize the wonder, the craziness of Jesus coming into this world. So let me pray. Yeah, God, we are grateful that we have this season every year, the Christmas season, to return to this famous story, to look at these familiar characters, to hear the words spoken by the angels. Yeah, it is a beautiful story. It's a joy-filled story. And so I pray that today we will experience it in a fresh way, that you will be speaking through it, that as we read these words that you have given us in Scripture, that we will hear your voice. That we will hear your voice and then respond to it in whatever way you are calling us to. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So C.S. Lewis, in his book Miracles, says this. He says, the central miracle asserted by Christians is the incarnation. They say that God became man. Every other miracle prepares for this, or exhibits this, or results from this. The arrival of Jesus was a big deal, right? It is a big deal. And so why don't we just read it? We're going to read from Luke chapter 2, verse 1 to 7, which says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to be registered. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. So in a way, this is a pretty simple story, right? She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. We've got 8 words. It's just a moment. But what a moment it was. Because in that moment, the creator of the world stepped into creation. We read it last week, but John 1, 1-3 and verse 16 says, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God, he was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The Creator stepped into creation. And then not only that, but the Creator actually tied himself to creation, right? Jesus bound himself to humanity. Luke chapter 1 records the story of Mary being visited by the angel Gabriel. And the angel tells her that she's going to have a baby, and she's to name this baby Jesus. And when she questions the angel and says, like, how is this possible? How am I to have a baby? The angel answers in Luke 1, verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Like, in this unexplainable, miraculous way, God was tying himself to humanity. The God who created Mary was now going to be birthed from Mary. Son of God, Son of Man. It's an incredible moment. And in that same moment, this invisible God was being made visible. John 1:18 says, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. And then Paul says in his letter to the Colossians that the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. And so that moment when Mary gave birth to the Son of God, that was the first moment since the beginning of time, the first moment in all of human history that humans were able to look upon the face of God. What a moment that was! How significant! And in that moment, the one who had been promised, the one who had been prophesied about, the one who that had been longed for, came. That moment came. Paul said to the Galatian church, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son. The moment had come. That moment marked the time when God fulfilled the promises from long ago. Right? Promises and prophecies that were referred to in the book of Matthew. Matthew 1:22-23 says, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. And Matthew 2:5-6 says, "This is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." And so the set time had finally come in that moment. And then in that moment, we also see that the all-powerful God chose to humble himself. Paul explains this to the Philippian church. He says that Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. In that moment, Jesus stepped out of heaven. He became a human. He entered into time and space. He entered into a culture. He entered into a family. Like, what a thing to do. What a significant moment. Never before, never after has there been such an important, such a significant arrival. And do you know who understood that? Do you know who understood what a big deal this was? Any guesses? I think it was the angels. I think the angels understood what was going on because they made a pretty awesome birth announcement. Awesome and terrifying at the same time, right? We read about it in Luke 2:8-14. It says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.'" Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." Can you imagine a bright light, the glory of God, and a whole group of angels announcing the arrival of a king, praising God? Like, is that not a glimpse into heaven? The glory of God, angels praising God. And what I love is that this isn't excessive. This wasn't overkill. Because heaven had come down to earth. This was completely appropriate. But I think this is also when the story gets a bit more interesting, if that's possible. Because the announcement is that the long-awaited Messiah has come, finally, right? The Lord is here. All those things that we were just reminded of, that the Creator was stepping into creation, that the invisible God was now visible, the one who had been promised had come, that was all true. But the invitation was to go and visit a baby. Go and visit a baby that's laying in a feeding trough. I was thinking about this, and the story is familiar. We know this message. So I was like, okay, so what if that happened today? And I imagined a limo, you know, driving up Pandora and stopping there, and a man getting out of the vehicle dressed in fine clothes. And he walks over to a group of men and women on the side of the road there, and he hands them an invitation, a beautiful, elaborate invitation. You know, it has elegant gold script. It's bordered with real diamonds. And he hands them this invitation, and they're standing there going like, what the heck is happening? This is so weird. But before they can actually process what is going on, all of a sudden they hear some music in the distance, and they look over, and there's like this gigantic group of people coming down the street, right down the middle of the street, and there's instruments, and they're playing this beautiful music, and there's dancers up ahead, and they're all announcing this, the king has come. And they go on by, and they all disappear, and the men and women there are just left standing there going like, did that just happen? Like, that is the weirdest thing to have happened to us. But they look down at this invitation with all the details, including the location. And they go, what? This can't be right. Because this king is in a tent just down the road from us. And so that means that all that show, all this craziness was for a king residing in the most humble of places. It's so weird. I have gotten used to it, but it's so weird. All that show for a baby laying in a manger, but that was the kind of moment it was. The Son of God, the one that was there in the beginning, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he was laying in a manger. He was a baby, completely dependent on his mother. And what struck me this year as I was reading this story again was the way that Jesus, a baby, was already demonstrating, was already showing us what he had come to do. Even in that moment, Jesus was revealing the good news of great joy for all people. Because what did Jesus come to do? He came to announce, to demonstrate, to usher in the kingdom of God. A kingdom where all are welcome. A kingdom where the first shall be last and the last shall be first. A kingdom that exists in the most unexpected of places. And Jesus was revealing that kingdom. He was demonstrating that kingdom. In that moment, the moment of his birth, he was already doing that. So let's finish this part of the story. Luke 12, 15 to 20. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told, what had been told to them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. To be those shepherds, to see the baby Jesus lying in the manger. Like, what a moment that would have been. What a story they would have had to share. But you know, we come to this Christmas season every year, and we hear this same familiar story, and we sing the same familiar songs. We probably face the same familiar stresses. And I can stand here and I can try to make it fresh for us. But if this just remains a story, if we just repeat the same story every year, the wonder of it, the craziness of it is going to wear off. There's just no way that we can be constantly amazed by it. We're going to lose the wonder. So it can't be a story. Can't just be a story, I guess. That moment when Jesus stepped into the world, it was incredible, and it changed everything. But I think the best news that we have today, the news that can bring us great joy, is that we still can come face to face with our Creator. And He has permanently tied Himself to creation. His people have the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. I don't think we can get more tied to our Creator than that. We can still know and be known by our God. We can still bear witness to His presence with us. We can still find Him, our King, in the most unexpected of places. Because that kingdom that Jesus was introducing, that He was bringing when He was a human baby boy, that is still the same kingdom that we can be a part of, the same kingdom that we can be a part of bringing. And so the freshness of this story doesn't come from an excellent retelling or telling it from a different perspective. The freshness of the story is actually experiencing Jesus right now, the ever-new experience of encountering Jesus. The freshness comes in the moments when we can freely and boldly come into His presence. The freshness comes when we encounter the living God right now. And so the good news of great joy is that Jesus continues to come, and He continues to bring His light and life and hope and peace. And so we can follow the example of the shepherds. We can go and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about, that God is with us, that the kingdom is here. And then, like the shepherds, when we see it, when we see evidence of Jesus, when we see His kingdom coming, so that means when we see broken relationships being restored, when people without hope are finding hope, when we see people being freed from shame and fear, when people experience the love of their Heavenly Father, when people are forgiving and others are receiving forgiveness, when we see that, when grace and forgiveness are being offered and accepted, when we experience and witness these things, we need to celebrate like those shepherds did. We need to glorify and praise our God for the things we have seen and heard. And then we need to go spread that. That's how we keep this Christmas story fresh. There was a song that came out a couple years ago that has become one of my favorite Christmas songs. For this very reason, because the Christmas story, we sing these Christmas songs, and I love them. They have such good words, but they're familiar, and I get used to them, and I forget this story, the power of it. And this song helps me remember the craziness. Helps remember what was happening in that moment when Jesus entered into time and space, when He entered into His creation, when the invisible God became visible. And so what I want to do is the band's going to come up, they're going to play this song, and if you know it, feel free to sing along, but sometimes we just need to sit and listen, sit and read these words, sit and let the truth of these words fill us with a renewed sense of awe and wonder, be reminded of the craziness of this story. So let's listen to this song. Thank you.